Hi, K-Watchers. It's Leanne.
Hi, everyone. It's Juliet. Welcome to the K-Watch Party.
Today, we have Lovely Runner, episodes 3 and 4. Can Soul change the future? Is the past, but Soul just forgot about it? Are we seeing two timelines combine into one? So many questions. We have no answers. So let's get into it. Good morning, Juliet. How are you this morning?
Good morning. Another crazy Friday morning leading into our favorite holiday, Father's Day.
I mean, let's be real. Every day is Father's Day.
Maybe in your house, not in ours. What do you guys have planned for Father's Day?
Well, the husbands, including yours, get to go golf. That's just a given.
Do you guys have a Father's Day tradition in your home?
No, other than that he gets to go golf, nothing.
No gifts.
Oh, this year I got him a Best Dad Ever hat from Target. When it's shampoo and conditioner, it's Target. When it's gifts, it's Target.
Oh, so, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for a guy who likes to wear his Ame Leon Dore, whatever, however you pronounce that hat, I'm sure he's going to love his Target hat.
To cover up his impending baldness, only wears $200 hats.
Right.
So I'm going to take him down a notch.
I saw this guy on TikTok, very handsome, and he was prematurely balding, like pretty badly, you know, like almost U-shaped, and he's mid-30s. And he went to Turkey, and he got the hair transplant, and he's been chronicling it. He looks so good.
Really?
It's really interesting how much the hair will make a difference.
It's interesting that Turkey is the place to go. They make Turkish rugs for the floor and Turkish rugs for your head.
Exactly. They're just...
They're weavers.
Yeah.
Centuries of old weaving traditions passed down to your balding head.
There's a direct-to-consumer market for Turkish rugs. Maybe we need a direct-to-consumer market for Turkish hair transplants. And he just said it's so much cheaper. So he said all in, he'd pay $3,000 with the hotel, with the flight.
That's cheaper than Korea.
Korea, I feel like now, they are price gouging.
Mm-hmm. They've seen their market value.
Even with facial stuff, there's a different price for foreigners.
Oh, wow. That's why I go to the one that locals go to, but then I don't know anything anybody's saying, and they're basically frying off my moles.
They're just like, yeah, oh, here's the 15 things we're doing to your face. You don't understand. We're going to do it.
This is a tangent, but for my wedding now, 12 years ago, I would go into these salons. I was getting ready for my wedding, and they were getting facials and getting my hair done, whatever. And they would just look at my face with such disdain. And this is way before, I never wore sunblock. You know,
this was before skincare was a thing.
Yeah. And so, I mean, they must have looked at me just like a dry piece of papyrus paper from Egyptian times. And they would just, you know, side talk amongst themselves.
Oh, sure. You spent time around Korean aunties.
Exactly. I don't have the thick skin that you have built over your life.
Right.
And so a week of that really wore me down. It was really sad.
Actually, another tangent is when I was in Orange County, my mom was talking about someone that she knows who went somewhere and they were talking.
As all mom stories are.
Yes.
Somebody I know went somewhere.
Went somewhere. And it was a friend who was basically talking shit about her skin. Oh my gosh, you look so old. What have you done? Why do you...
To are your you not, mom?
No, to this person that my mom knows.
Oh, got it.
Why do you look like that? Why aren't you taking care of yourself? And my mom was telling me, as she's reciting the story, she's like, it's so offensive. How could she say that to her? And I stopped and I was like, excuse me? This is how you talk to me every single minute of my life. Since the minute I walked into this door, why are you wearing that? Why do you walk like that? Oh, have you been working out? And she's like, well, you're my daughter, so I could say that. I'm like, no, it's the same thing. You think it's offensive. How do you think I take it? Like, this has been my entire life. Korean people just feel like they have the right to say whatever they want to people's faces. Also, when I went to those jimjilbangs where they scrubbed me, the lady was like, she's like, does your husband ever give you massages? Because your body is so stiff. You know, these are things that no masseuse would ever say in an American massage parlor, right? Scrubbing me. And she's like, this is like jajangmyeon, which is the black bean noodles. She's like, it's coming off of your skin because you don't scrub yourself enough.
She scolded you.
Yeah. And I was
the woman you're paying.
I was like, okay, I'm sorry.
The woman standing in a bra and undies.
They usually wear these lace bralettes and lace underwear. And you could, everything is out.
Right. At everything the Korean spa where you got, there's a plat, for those of you who have never been, it's a wonderful experience. If you have one near you, you should go check it out. But for very cheap, you can go to these Korean spas and they have a table that is covered in plastic.
Plastic, yes.
It's in a room that is hosed down on a daily. And you lie there, they soap you, and then they take
a very coarse
hand scrubber.
It's like sandpaper.
Yeah. And with two hands, they rub you all over your body and rub every...
Oh, in every crevice.
Oh, they're like, lift your legs.
Yep, yep.
You're like in birthing position at some points and they are getting in there. It's close. Sometimes it's so close.
I'm like, is this considered sexual harassment? I'm not sure.
There's a lips happening here. Yeah. It's happening.
But the ladies are always dressed in these outfits.
This is also not, you're at your most vulnerable. This is also not where you want to be lectured by a lady.
But it's to be expected now. I just go to these places knowing that I will be told how disgusting I am, how terrible my skin is, how nobody in my life cares for me.
Speaking of massages, we're all on tangents today. I was out with some soccer moms getting some drinks and we were talking about massages. One lady said she went to Massage Envy one time and she, you know, you put
which your is hand, one of those
like a chain
chains
and you put your hand out, you know, and your hand's like kind of up while your chest is down, your face down. She said the masseuse put his balls her hand.
No.
Yes. And next to me was an attorney who was like, oh yeah, no, Massage Envy, I have so many lawsuits against them. There's like class actions against masseuse sexual harassment. Stop. At Massage Envy. How crazy is that?
What?
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the woman who got balls in her hand, also, her husband like signed up for a recurring subscription, like Vicky, guys, so we got to cancel. And he forgot to turn it off. And now he has 28 free massages. And nobody's going back there to get balls in their hands. Right. So, you know, if anybody wants 28 free massages and Massage Envy,
I'm sorry. So, like, was he naked or did he just, like...
I think, you know, through, like, thin shorts, you can feel a ball sack.
Dear God. Dear God.
I was like, if my husband put his balls in my hand, I'd be like, excuse me, what's happening?
I'd have to, like, cut my hand off. I'm in utter shock right now.
Your massage experiences are bad with these ajumas.
Yes. I'll take that over balls in my hands.
Oof. Oh. And on that note. I'm not sure how I'm going to transition.
Well, it's very hard to transition from balls in hands. But how's the bald hair journey?
Good one.
You talked a few weeks ago about him shaking his head and hair flying out. And that, and by the way, that's the only image I see when I see him now.
Again, the laughing is going to get us in trouble. He went to the dermatologist, who, of course, like most doctor's appointments, gave no more information than Google did. He did say, though, that he's actually not showing a pattern of male baldness, which is a good thing. But he's
just showing pattern of baldness.
He is showing a pattern of female baldness.
Because female baldness is just, it actually just falls kind of all over the place, right?
Yeah, so I don't know. I do appreciate my husband, though, because he didn't watch episodes 1 and 2 with me, and he watched it afterwards. And he's very helpful to have as, like, an interpreter, and he has a lot of good insight. So he told me that in episode...
Also, we should clarify, because I feel like we're having new people join our podcast. So your husband is Korean. You are not. So that's why it's helpful to have him.
And he says in the first episode, we see when we are seeing Sunjay race a really... like the top swimmer guy, that top swimmer was extremely famous. He is a very, very famous Korean Olympic swimmer.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. So when he saw him come, he's like, oh man, they got him. So the thing that you and I didn't even notice.
Yeah.
He also says he watches variety shows a lot and he says these two are blowing up.
Oh yeah. I've been seeing them like little clips on TikTok all over the place. Also, BTS's J-Hope wrote a letter to his fans and he just posted it, I think, yesterday.
Because he's in the army still.
He's still, yeah.
He's not the one who came out.
He's not the one. Jin is the pretty boy. Uh-huh. Visual is the one that came out. But J-Hope wrote this letter and he goes, have you guys cheated yet? Like cheated on him, basically.
Like a bias
and then
breaker.
He said, did you put Sunjay on your back and run? Because that's the literal title of the Korean title.
A Lovely Runner.
they were like, is he watching this from inside the military? He probably has some special rights that allow him to watch the hottest television show.
Yeah. What kind of treatment do you think BTS is getting? Because probably normal soldiers don't get to watch dramas in the army, right?
I don't know. But I did watch DP, which is a military show on Netflix.
I love that lead guy.
Oh my God. Yes.
I love him. From the Something in the Rain, the Nuna Buys Me Meals show.
There's something about him that's magnetic. Oh. I can't figure, and I wouldn't say he's like the most attractive person, but there's just something about him that draws you in.
Well, let's just make sure we're talking about the same person. You're talking about
Tong Hain.
Yes. If anybody hasn't watched Tune In for Love, it's on Netflix. It's just a movie.
Oh, yes. Oh,
I love that one. That one was movie. So cute too. And that was radio was really big on that one too.
Yeah, so in DP, they show the barracks. And they have a TV.
So
it's possible that he's watching. But I'm sure nobody is giving him the same kind of treatment that other people in the military are getting.
Regular civilians. Right. Yeah. Does DP depict the military as being really tough?
Yeah. So the characters in DP are the police that go after those who have gone AWOL.
Oh, interesting.
And several of the people who have gone missing from the military are people who have been like beaten, tortured, humiliated
as like
by
hazing?
Their comrades.
Oh.
And so they just like can't take it anymore, so they leave.
Oh,
I know.
Sad. Wow.
I think the culture in Korea, like what is depicted on these dramas, is very different from what's actually happening, like even in schools.
I would give up every idol for Sanjay. I am obsessed with this show. I am obsessed. There's different levels of obsession for me. If I like it, it's fine. I watch it and I move on. If I really love it, I am rabbit hole looking up these guys to see what their interviews are like. What are the behind the scenes?
Aww.
I am rewatching the show. I've rewatched all the episodes, just their parts. I've skipped literally the diarrhea in her pants part.
Oh God,
I can't. We have
need,
to get
we
into
need
that.
To talk about it because that was, I was LOLing so much because that is my kind of humor.
I am deep in this one. So let's get into episodes 3 and 4. Episodes 1 and 2, we learned about Seol in the future. And we also watched her go back in time and land in high school. She was running around trying to get Sanjay not to swim in the swim competition. She knows that that's going to set him down the idol path, which will ultimately lead to unaliving himself.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about themes last week. I mentioned that Seol is also sun. There is an eclipse in the beginning. I completely forgot that the band's name is Eclipse.
Yes.
And Sanjay, it's Sanjay. A lot of nods to the cosmos and weather. Although we had fewer umbrellas this week. Let's start with the romance in episode 3. We spend a lot of time from Sanjay's point of view this time as he's realizing how deeply in a crush he is with Seol. And he wants to take action. So a lot of episode 3 is him trying to Kobek or confess to her.
Yes. All of episode 1 and 2, we thought, and she also thought, that he had no idea that she existed. Turns out that maybe their entire high school life, that he actually was really into her. He had been trying to get her attention and she had no idea he existed.
Yeah. But he was attracted to how bubbly and sweet and fun she was. I think this brings up a good issue, right? Because he wants to Kobek to her because he's liked her for a long time and she's been very caring to him in the last 2 episodes. The issue I have is that Seol is in love with Sanjay as a fan.
Yes.
As a pen.
Pen.
Pen, as they say in Korean. That's not real love, right? Like everything she actually knows about Sanjay, she read in the newspapers.
Oh, right.
Right? And on these like
she's fantasized about who he is and like knows every aspect of his life and all of his obsessions, but actually doesn't know him.
She didn't learn that from knowing him as a person.
It was on Wikipedia.
It was on Koreaboo.
Koreaboo.com.
So even Sanjay's friend brings it up. He's like, liking you as a guy isn't the same as liking you as a fan. So I don't know. Does it make it less real?
Yeah, I think her mission right now is I got to save this guy because I care about him as a pen and I don't want him to unalive himself. That's why she believes she's come back. He has a much different perspective and it seems maybe even has been tortured by his attraction and lust and love for her through his life. Because he even calls her at the radio station, right? So he's been thinking about her all this time. And when he sees her on the bridge, he realizes, oh, she still doesn't know me. She still doesn't recognize me from the past.
Yeah, I think we'll go into it as we cover a little bit more of the episodes that it's very unclear what happened in the past and what actually this relationship was. Let's just stick with the cute Kobeck for now.
Yes.
There are some insanely cute scenes of them walking around after his swim meet. They're like miscommunicating. He wants to say the word Kobeck to her, but then she asks for
Obegwan.
And then he goes, Kobeck-wan? And he
Obegwan is 501, which translates to about 50 cents. But they sound the same because they have the peck at the end. Kobeck-wan. That was very cute.
She wants the Obegwan, the 501, to take a photo in a photo booth, a passport photo booth, which would be so convenient to have around.
Truly, Koreans think of everything.
Yeah. This might be the most important part of the entire show. This photo.
Yes. Well, okay, so I'm confused by the photo.
Okay, so let's just talk about the photo itself. It's okay. So freaking cute. So they get into the photo booth. He, like, can't take a good photo. I mean, what a handsome face can't take a good photo. Unbelievable. She shows him the heart to pose, yeah, on the cheek.
On the cheek.
So you make a half a heart on your face. Really cute. He does it, and it's, like, just the
cutest. But he does it to her face, which was so cute.
Dead. They also take a bus ride home. She has to pee really bad on the bus, but she's too embarrassed in front of Sanjay to ask the bus driver to stop so she can pee. So he sees how fidgety she is and right. That she really needs to pee. So just kind of slyly, he tells the bus driver that he has to pee. Yeah. And they come off the bus and she realizes, very mortified, that he's done it for her. And he's right. Like, okay, I'll keep watch. Just go over there, right? In the variety show where they did like an interview my husband was watching, he told me that the question to the two of them as actors was, what scene made you fall in love with the other's character?
Oh.
And the girl said that it was this scene that made him seem so mushy, so like that he would be like, so caring.
Right, and he would also recognize her needs and then
not make
wouldn't
a deal
embarrass
out of it.
Her about
yes,
it.
Yes. Because in high school, it's all about teasing.
Yes.
And he was very respectful to her. And so she said that that was the scene that made her see him as someone she saw. Very cute. They get home. They're standing outside their respective homes. And then there's like flower petals start falling around them.
I thought it was snow.
Yeah. Either way.
Because they're obsessed with this thing about like being with your first love during the first snow of the year.
I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Cheesy drama.
So that's exactly what I wrote.
But why this drama is so freaking cute and good is because
it turned out that it was his friend on the rooftop with these flower petals and a fan, just like throwing it down to him, which I was like, why did he decide to do that?
Because he knew that Sanjay
didn't have the game to make it happen.
So he tried to set the ambiance. And
that was very cute.
Another miscommunication, he says, I don't want you to be my fan anymore. And then she misunderstands and says, okay, then let's be friends. Because she thinks he wants to push her away.
Right.
So after all of that, he, of course, doesn't. Kobeck. A few days pass. Seol gets drunk on some homemade goji berry tea.
Goji berry wine.
Yeah.
That his dad had brewed. And she thought it was just tea. So she drank the whole thing and got drunk.
Follows him like the creep she is to the swim center,
right?
And they're kind of like in a dark swim center. It's quite romantic. The you know, the lights are bouncing off the water. We get a cute drunk girl scene, a total K-drama staple.
Rosy cheeks.
They listen to music together. She plays a song he used to play for his fans.
Mm-hmm.
So did she seed this song into his head?
Right.
Pre-idol days.
Oh.
With this
hurts my head.
Date, right? She kind of reminds me of you a lot.
What?
Okay, because the way she runs, so she runs a lot in this show.
Yes.
She's always running. And she runs like you. Elbows are out. Just kind of awkward. Your knees somehow also go out. Hers don't. She's also kind of a cute, fun drunk. You're a cute, fun drunk. She also is a little narcoleptic. She kind of falls asleep.
She does fall asleep.
As
everywhere.
Do you.
Anywhere.
Juliet is the biggest hype man. Like, we're going out and it's like, shots, yeah, let's do it, let's go out. One shot later, she is passed out.
Maybe two.
Two max. And then the rest of us didn't want to take shots, but she hyped us into it. And then she just ditches us and is not to be seen the rest of the night.
That's not true. I fall asleep or I go throw up and then I'll come back.
Second wind.
Yeah, second wind.
But anyway, she has a lot of things that remind me of you. She also like falls a lot. You also fall a lot. You're kind of a klutz.
Yes.
Yeah. And this like real backwards fainting thing reminds me of you a lot. Okay. So anyway, so she backwards faints. He catches her. They're leaning over. She's living her fangirl dreams. She touches his face like ever so gingerly. It's very nice. And he says,
Choa. That's Choa. Right. Nado Choa. I like you. I like you too.
And then she says to him, I'll be by your side. I won't let you have dark thoughts.
Yeah, she says, keep smiling like this. I'll be by your side. When you're struggling, I won't let you feel alone.
And in this moment of being just so touched, he kisses her. Episode 3, Kobeck and kiss combo?
I know. I will say a lot is happening very early.
It's a great kiss, too. It's the eyes closed. We're not getting the K-drama trope of, oh, she's so shocked. Her eyes are open yes, wide.
Right, right. They're both dancing the salsa.
And
I mean, the tango.
The salsa. Yeah, it's a great kiss. Episode 3. I was jumping up and down. Of course, it's very short-lived, the happiness. And the next morning, she doesn't remember. Now she's me. She's the drunk girl who can't remember. I don't
understand. How could you not remember any of that? That's crazy. But yes, she doesn't remember.
But during the conversation, she had accidentally stepped on her recorder and pushed record.
So yes.
Actually recorded the whole conversation, which
how
I
convenient.
Love. Yes. So she's like putting her earphones in. She's listening. Sanjay's kind of running after her. He missed the bus. So she's listening to the recording and she's just kind of banging her like, oh, I'm so dumb. Why did I say that?
So she's hearing this whole conversation. Of course, just as she's about to get to the part where he confesses.
Bad boy comes
out. Bad boy. What you gonna do? So then the earpiece falls out and she misses this whole part of the conversation.
Yes.
Whereas Hyunjae is confessing.
Yes. In a turn of events, because bad boy is trying to avoid this very clingy girl that he doesn't like, he takes a challenge to ask out Seol, who normally he wouldn't have ever liked or been with in the previous life. But I think he's a little attracted to her because he calls her Nunim, or like this grandma version of herself.
Right.
He's actually very attracted to her. And you can see they have sparks flying between them.
And she's now playing kind of hard to get. I mean, she's not even playing it, but she's definitely like, I don't actually really like you. Get away from me.
Right.
And that eggs him on.
Bad boys love that.
So bad boy's asking her to be his girlfriend.
And right at that moment,
the watch starts, and then she's back in the river.
She's back in 2023. And it seems like,
and her legs are not working.
Right. But it also seems like her consciousness in 2009 is back to her old self. Like she possessed her 2009 brain with her 2023 brain. But when she left back to 2023, her 2009 brain took over again.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, what is going on? So then they have this little icon at the bottom of the drama where it's like 19 years old. So this is how you know she has lost parts of her older 2023 brain. So of course she says yes to bad boy because she's like, oh my gosh, this guy I've been obsessing over, he wants to go out with me.
Yeah, 2009 Seol couldn't be happier.
Right.
So that's how we end episode 3. Sanjay sees this, and now we're back in the future. Episode 4, we're back with Seol in 2023. I was so depressed. I wanted to go back to high school. I knew flipping would happen. I knew there was going to be back and forth, but it is very jarring because we were so happy in high school, and yes, now we're back to 2023, which is very dark and depressing. She's freezing in a river. Before we see what happens to Seol in 2023, flashback a little bit to Sanjay and how he experienced the transaction on the bridge.
Right. So this is when Seol was on the bridge. Her motorized wheelchair had run out of battery and stopped working. So she was stuck there. It was snowing. He pulls up in his fancy idle black van. So he comes up to her with an umbrella.
And we saw it from her point of view, which was, oh my God, this idol's driving by and doesn't know me and is saving me. But from his point of view,
he's like, oh, this is the girl that I've known since high school that I was in love with. And he's going up to help her and then realizes that she doesn't know him at all. And that hurts him, I think.
Yeah. And so now when we saw it from Sol's point of view, he was just being a kind stranger and she was living out her idol dreams. Now when we see it from his point of view, you really see the poignancy of his words coming from him.
Yes.
Because it's actually very like a person asking another person that they know, what are you doing out here?
Right.
Can I give you a ride? And like, is this broken? You know, in a very caring way, a stranger wouldn't necessarily ask it that way. And so it's so interesting that the change in point of view really changes the way that you interpret.
Well, isn't that every interaction we have with humans? We're always like, oh, from my point of view, this person was so mean or so bad. But everyone has a different lens as how they're viewing things, right?
Right.
But do you think that Sanjay has been a bit melancholy because Sol has never recognized him? I mean, not that that can't be the Sol thing.
I think we just don't know what has transpired for either of them.
Yeah.
There's a really great scene that follows Sanjay off the bridge because it turns out he knows where Sol lives. He follows her to her apartment building to make sure she gets home okay. He looks so lonely out there. You know, I think the writer is trying to say something about idol, fan.
Yeah.
Idol has the adulation of all of these people.
Right.
Including the one person that he loves back. But he's still so lonely.
He's lonely because nobody knows him as a person, as a human. They know him as this, you know, idol.
Yeah. I think this writer is trying to say something about
what is idol love versus
real love.
There was one inconsistency I wanted to call out. Did you notice that she was suddenly in a manual wheelchair?
What? I thought she was in a motorized
one. She's wheeling herself into her apartment. I'm like, where did that one come from?
Maybe her best friend is such a good friend. She has a manual backup in her trunk.
That's what I thought. But she should also be taking the electric one for you.
I don't know.
To charge it up.
Right. But what it leads to is, I thought, the most beautiful scene of the whole two episodes. She is wheeling herself from the elevator to her door. And you can see that hallway from the outside because there's not a full wall. It's a half wall.
Right.
But you can't see her because she's in the wheelchair. So she's below the wall. And Sanjay is out in the snow watching this. As she's wheeling by in her wheelchair, you can see the motion sensor lights go on.
From each apartment door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One by one by one as she moves her way down the hall. And so he can see that she's making her way home.
That was actually beautifully shot.
And then each light goes out one by one by one. And he stands there. And there's no lonelier person you'll see. Mm. And so then we see him back on his balcony. It's at the suicide scene again. But this time, next to the jar of candy that Sol gave him in this bridge interaction. So this is, again, 2023, before Sol time slips. This is the actual thing that happened that we saw in the beginning. On the table next to the candy is his wallet.
But no picture.
No
photo.
Because
we had seen previously there was the passport picture that they had taken together. This time, it's not there.
And it's the one with the heart pose, which I think is also very crucial. So after this scene, we go back to Sol having time slipped back to 2023. I feel like
it is making my brain hurt, but there's basically three different time
lines now.
Yes.
There was the timeline of the original timeline where...
Right, the 2023, like, she lived her normal life.
Then there's the timeline of Sol going back.
Right.
And what does that do to the future? And now there's this current timeline. What's happened now that she's slipped back to 2023? So we're now in this third chunk. She slipped back into 2023 after doing all that stuff in 2009 with Sanjay. She had passed out in the cold-ass stream. So she's in the hospital. And she's actually in the same hospital where Sanjay was taken.
Right. And so she is able to see his dad and his bandmates. They're all crying. So she's realizing, okay, the same thing has happened again.
Right. So he has passed. She has made no change to the future with this first trip.
So she thought.
Right. But then the police say, you were the last person to see Sanjay.
On the bridge.
And show her that they found the photo of the two of them doing the heart pose in the photo booth from 2009.
Mm-hmm. It was in his belongings.
And the fact that the photo is there, which she also has the other two photos in her little planner.
Yes.
Which is so 2009.
Oh my gosh.
I loved my planners.
Oh my gosh. I loved it with like, oh, I put, would put stickers on everything. And
you would just write nonsense. Yeah, in there. We nonsense. Didn't have things to put in a planner.
I mean, yeah, we did. Key club, you know, swim practice. Everyone's birthday and their phone numbers. That was definitely in my planner.
Did you have a cute one? Because I was really proud of like a black faux leather one that I got. Oh, that's hilarious.
I always got the cute one every time like I would go to Korea or I would go to Morning Glory to get the cute one. I was obsessed with that. You wanted to be cool.
I wanted to be cool. I got mine from like TJ Maxx or whatever, you know, in the home goods
Office
section.
Depot.
Yeah.
I just don't know why they had to do the time. The second time slip to me was a little unnecessary.
But we're seeing that she's changing the future because that photo was not there in the original suicide. Right. So like they didn't have this memory in the real past. And the heart pose is a 2000. It wasn't
that was
in 2009.
Yeah, that she had made the change by doing the time slip.
Yes. So something has changed.
Yeah, she
future.
Hasn't changed the result yet.
Right.
But we're seeing, and I'm imagining this is probably what's going to happen for the next 14 episodes, where she's able to make small incremental changes that
hopefully
will change the course of his life.
I think it's so genius that they made him do the heart pose because that's such an indication. Like even if we were confused about this photo, like maybe that photo happened in the past and we just like didn't see it. The fact that it's the heart pose is the indication that she brought it from the future because in 2009, they didn't do that.
That was,
yet.
Yeah, the heart pose became really popular late 2022. I remember when somebody told me that that was cool and I was like, that is so ridiculous because I thought it makes you look chubbier, but I think it's because they think it's like covering half of your, you know, you're like covering your face.
She, guys, is looking behind me at our mirror and testing out what it looks like on her face. The thing about the time slip is that she realizes she only has two more chances. She has learned that she can only go back at midnight.
Right.
And when she went back the first time, her watch said 3. And now she's going back and it says two. So it's almost like a countdown. So she time slips again. Unfortunately, when she lands back into time, 10 days have passed. Her 2009 old self couldn't remember all of the days where she was possessed by her 2023 self. So she has been dating Bad Boy.
Right, because that was her dream, her fantasy
yeah.
in 2009.
Sanjay's like, the heck, you just ditched me and now you're dating this Bad Boy guy after I go back to you.
I gotta admit, it is quite creative. I think it's insane just watching it because it's so hard to follow. But whoever thought of this was very creative.
I love it. She spends a lot of now episode 4 chasing after Sanjay. Again, it's Bad Boy's birthday and there's a scene where she has to go to the cafe and she wants to break up with him.
But then she had already planned with the cafe owner that she was going to do this really big, huge scene for his birthday. He turned the cafe owner, turns off all the lights. She has created this montage of him and how she's like, oh, Kong Yu? No, I don't want him. And like all of these hot actors, no, I don't want them. But I want you. I think his name is Taesong, Bad Boy. And, you know, she's being all cutesy and he is loving it. And she is so mortified.
It's so cheesy. Did you do anything like this in high school?
Oh, heck no. I would never. I found a MASH, like a notebook with just MASH recently.
What does MASH stand for again?
Oh, mansion, apartment,
shack house.
And then you would like write down names of people.
Who you would want to live in these places with? I cannot remember.
Who you
want to
live with. How many kids you would have, who you would marry, I think. Where you would live, what your job would be. What is something like that. Something dumb.
It's the high school version of Mary F. Kill, which we are now playing in adulthood. So she can't break up with Bad Boy because she looks like a total psycho that literally yesterday she set up this whole thing and now she wants to break up with him. And he also seems very sad.
He has been, it seems, abandoned by his mom or his mom's not around. His dad is really absent.
She said, have you had miyeokguk today?
Miyeokguk, which is the seaweed soup that you would traditionally eat on your birthday. So she takes him to a taxi cafe, which is like where taxi drivers go to have lunch. It's usually very cheap. So there is a restaurant in New York right now that opened with this concept, but they're charging New York prices and Koreans are bashing them so hard on social media, on their like Yelp page and whatever. Like, are you ridiculous? You're serving stuff that you would eat at home and charging over $50 for this?
Over $50.
But it's New York, you know, and it's very kitschy for New York. You know, they're like, you have the signs, it comes in the metal bowl. So for non-Koreans, it's novel. But they've been getting a lot of flack for it.
They have soup. Taking her 30-year-old self, giving him advice. These two, it feels less romantic and more of her trying to be an older sister to him now. Mm-hmm. Which goes back to me thinking she's 30 in her consciousness and she is now chasing after an 18-year-old boy. Because I only recognize this because I, too, am lusting after Sanjay. Oh. And I was like, is this wrong? Because he's an 18-year-old boy in the show. Technically, he's 32 in real life.
Well, it is criminal in most states.
I guess the nuance here is she's not actually going after him to date him.
Or to have sex with him.
Right. She's actually just trying to save his life.
Yeah.
It's not statutory, I guess. The best scene in this whole series is he's shirtless post-shower scene. Oh. Give me more of that. He goes into his room and Sol is just lying on his floor, passed out. Again, a Juliet move.
Yep.
Why is she passed out? No.
She had gone to his house because he had received a card from an entertainment company. And her mission was to rip that up because she thinks getting him to avoid being an idol is what is going to save his life.
While she was sleeping, he had like compared their hands together and he's just like kind of staring at her. And he's so deeply has a crush on her that he can't even have her near him.
Yeah. He's like, I'm getting a boner.
Shouldn't have worn these sweats. See my boner. He takes his comforter cover, puts it over her shocked face, and just lugs her out over one shoulder. I found this to be so sexy of him.
What?
That he's like so big and he could just like carry her over the shoulder. Also in drama, they never do this kind of thing physical between the two leads.
Right.
So he just drags her out and he's like, it tortures me. You can see through my despair.
Oh my gosh. That was heart-wrenching to hear. But there was a line in this conversation that will be the through line for the rest of the series where she said to him, stay alive because it's nice outside. And if it rains, stay alive to wait until it stops.
Just one more day.
And someday a day might come when living doesn't feel so bad,
which is what he said to her on the radio.
Yes. Mm-hmm. When she was paralyzed.
Also, I think she's trying to say to him, like, maybe I can't change the future. And maybe you're going to still be at the balcony contemplating suicide. But in that moment, can you wait one more day and I will come find you?
Right.
Right? Because if she time slips back to 2023 and he just waits one more day, now she has the memory of knowing him and everything they've been through. And she will come find him and save him that day after.
Ugh.
So we have those really sweet scenes. And then we have randomly.
So many bowel movements, storylines. Koreans just love to talk about their bowels.
The dad has to go poop suddenly when he's talking to Sol.
The sound effects.
I know, the gurgling tummy. We're like, we get it. We don't need the sound effect.
And then he said, the translation was, it's coming out. But what he really said was, it's leaking.
Oh, good God.
It's leaking out.
The best friend at school, she has mentioned multiple times in this episode that she has constipation.
Yes.
It's an actual storyline. Does she poop her pants?
Oh, I think she poops her pants. She like kind of straightens her body and then it all comes out.
Oh. But then we see Sol's brother, who has been very useless up to this point.
Like, okay, for example, that they were filming a drama scene. And I honestly was like, am I watching the wrong thing? What is happening? Like, he was a character in this drama and then his tooth fell out. I was like,
bizarre.
So unnecessary. But Koreans also, I realize with K-dramas, they are also always looking for like a B storyline.
They have to have a B couple. So I guess high school best friend and brother are the B couple. I don't know what's going on. He swoops in with his shirt. I guess he has seen that she has shat her pants.
Oh my gosh.
And so he takes his shirt and covers her backside. I don't think that's going to do it, bro. She needs a hose down. I mean, what is she just must shimmy her way out of there because it's coming down her. I cannot believe this is a storyline.
I do have a story that I'd like to share, but I'm not going to do it because it's too personal to me. But I've had something similar happen to me. Really. Nobody came and rescued me from behind. My husband was like, get away from me.
I think it's you can romance. Put two and two together of what happened to Juliet. Again, another reason why these characters remind me so much of Juliet. And then the big last scene of this episode was she gets on a bus. Sanjay sees her get on the bus. She falls asleep, ends up all the way at the end of the line.
Well, you know, when you're passing through multiple lifetimes, you're retired. That's maybe true. That's what I'm doing.
Yes.
Maybe I'm living multiple parallel lives, you know?
You're very
different
busy
multiverses.
On other universes. Just tired. So the end of the line is at a reservoir. I mean, the bus driver just lets her get off here. She's clearly a student. You don't just let a student get off the bus in the middle of child abduction murder town. So she goes and sits to wait for the next bus to come. I mean, what we had to do before Uber came along.
Oh, truly.
Oh, they don't have Uber there. They have Kakao Taxi.
Kakao Taxi.
A very suspicious taxi drives by. You can tell because he kind of brakes and slows down. His windows are blacked out and you can see the keychain.
Oh, the keychain. Was there something about the keychain?
There's just like a little red something on the keychain. It makes it recognizable, right? And it kind of jingles a little bit.
Right.
This is my first, what's up with taxi driver?
And then you got a drunk old man who's harassing her.
Who wants to try to get her phone. They're on the bridge over this river now and she falls in. Sanjay dives in to save her. And then we're flashed back
to when she was injured in her original life.
We're not sure, though, what he was saving her from. We see that he saves her from water. And then she's screaming at him from a hospital bed. How could you save me? Why are you making me live this way?
Without knowing who he was, just knowing that her savior was there.
I find it very unclear. A, what happened to Seoul, really, in 2000? We've been led to believe it's a car accident because she has PTSD
that's
from walking across the street. But I'm not sure that's true. And then B, does she know Sanjay or not? Because when she screams, why did you save me? Was she trying to commit suicide because she was paralyzed? And he went to go save her. So let's talk about the time travel. Is she changing the future? And it seems like she is because of this photo. The photo is turning up in the future now that only should exist because of her time slip. We also know that there's a scene where her house goes on fire.
Yes, and her mom in like the original life had had a really bad burn on her hand and wrist.
But in the time slip,
right, she was able to get to her house in time. With Bad Boy, he used the fire extinguisher to put the fire out and her mom was nowhere to be seen. And so she was able to divert what happened to her mom. I think it's a little bit unclear and a little inconsistent is like these incremental changes. Will she be able to change Sanjay's future?
Because she didn't change the fact that he hurt himself. She changed the fact that it wasn't at the meet.
Right. But ultimately he still did hurt his shoulder at a practice.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So in some ways, it's like the inevitable is going to happen, or this is like something that is a much bigger thing than her changing the course of his life. Like just because he doesn't become an idol doesn't mean he's not going to be depressed.
Right. And so what it seems like is happening is that her time slip is going back in time and changing events. Is it linear versus multi,
right?
In the multiverse, these things can all happen.
Yeah.
But they just happen with a different ending. But
right.
All of them actually happen in this linear timeline. She's going back in time and changing everybody's memories and changing everyone's fate.
Right.
It's almost like she's erasing it and rewriting it.
Exactly.
So then the Sanjay in the real 2023 should have memories now, post time slip,
of them taking pictures and becoming friends and her being in his room.
It's a complete mind warp.
Fuck. Yeah.
My heart hurts for how much I love them and my brain hurts for how much I have to think about time travel.
Imagine me, I'm still on cough medicine every night and I'm watching and I'm like, what? Is this real?
I know. The other fate that needs to change is Seoul's accident, which she doesn't think that much about, but it's looming. It's like something's going to happen to her where she loses the ability to use her legs. Can she also change fate so that she can avoid that? Whatever happens.
Right. But it doesn't seem like that's a focus because she has really kind of come to accept that this is her life, right? She's not as torn up about it as she is about Sanjay dying.
And that's the selflessness of maybe being a huge fan, is that she puts his destiny above hers. Because if I could go back in time and something like that happened to me, I would try to go back and reverse that fate for myself.
Yourself. Yes.
And not focus on somebody else.
Yeah.
I would kill baby Hitler, I guess. But
oh my gosh, yeah.
That would be number one. And then number two is not lose the use of my legs. I guess the problem is she doesn't remember why or how. And so she can't actually reverse anything because she doesn't even know when it's going to happen.
Yeah. And you're right. There is a mystery around it because even her mom doesn't talk about it.
Yeah.
Right. So there's something a little bit maybe ominous about that situation.
Yep. Okay. That was episodes 3 and 4. You can tell just based on how out of breath I am, how much I love this show. My husband was listening to the podcast last week. He's like, you can tell how much you love it because when you explain a scene, it's longer than actually watching the scene itself. Thank you guys for joining us. We hope you're loving the show. We have episodes 5 and 6 coming up next week.
And hey, if you guys like us, please go subscribe to our podcast. Leave a comment. It would really help us out. Love you guys.
So thank you guys. We will see you next week. Until then, be well. Bye.